Blog Talk Radio.
I was walking downtown one day, and I saw a man who appeared to be just an old wino sitting on the street telling the people about Jesus as they passed by. And because he was all raggedy and dirty, people would just laugh and make fun of the old man and walk on by. And he said, because of the way I am, no money, no fancy clothes, fine homes and cars, a lot of people consider me as nothing and say I don't know what I'm talking about. But there's one thing that he said that really touched my heart and stayed on my mind. When that old man looked up and said, I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. He said, I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. And he said, I've had so many problems in my life that I just couldn't deal with. So I started drinking, thought it would help ease my pain. But things got worse, so I said, Lord, I give up. I'm in your hands. And that's when my life began to change. But these people think I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. And he said, on the street day and night, that's my life, that's my home. Ain't got nowhere else I can go. So I just walk the streets telling the people about Jesus. From corner to corner, from door to door. But they all make fun of me and say, I'm a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. Oh, I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. Tell you he can save. The Lord can save. Ooh, he can save. Save your soul. I tell you, through Jesus Christ, your life can be changed and made whole. He can bring everlasting joy and peace within your soul. Ooh. And in many ways, I feel just like that old man. Born in the country, raised on the farm. No money, no fancy clothes, no fine homes and cars. But thank God, mama and daddy raised me up on the real deal. And that's God Almighty. And sometimes when I sing about Jesus and people won't listen, I feel like I'm just a nobody.
Amen, amen, and amen. I can identify with that brother. Sometimes you do feel like you're just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. But I'll tell you today that you are somebody. When you're telling the world about Christ, you are joint heirs with his kingdom. You are a part of a family that says you are somebody. And you got something to share with everybody about somebody who can save anybody. Good evening. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I am your host, Brother David, and I'd like to welcome you to the Spirit of a Soldier, where we come to share the knowledge and wisdom of God's Word. Yes, the wisdom and knowledge of God's Word. As God imparts the Word through the Holy Spirit in our heart, each of us are contributing to each other's life to help us to become the best version of ourselves, to become that image bearer of Christ. And this is something that we should embrace. This is why the Word tells us in Proverbs 4:20-22, my son, attend to my words, incline thy ears to my saying, let them not depart from thy eyes, keep them in the midst of thy heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. If truly that don't make you somebody, then you're missing the mark. You got to get them ears clear, because they always tell us, let those who have ears to hear, let them hear. Open up your heart, open up your mind, and recognize that God is a God that's always on time. He's going to make sure that you're going to be the best person he intended you to be. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you right now for your love, your mercy, and your grace, and your forgiveness of our sins, those of the past, those we may fall short in the present, and those we may fall short in the future. Father God, I like to believe that we would be sinless, but I know we can strive to sin less, so that we can stay in line with your word, Father God, that you would guide us and direct us as we keep our mind on thee. You would give us what we need to follow that which you want us to do, your will. I thank you, Father God, for this golden opportunity every time I get a chance to speak about your word. It's a golden opportunity for a transforming situation, a changing in someone's life, but not just theirs, my own, because as I share, iron sharpens iron. And I thank you, Father God, for this golden opportunity to be a vessel that you utilize. As I always like to say, many will say, I don't want to be used, but if you're not being used, you are useless. And I do not want to be useless in God's army. Hallelujah. So I praise you, Father God, as I go forward, that I decrease and you increase through the Holy Spirit to help me impart, Father God, that which you've given me in accuracy and proficiency, Father God, that make it simple enough that a child can comprehend it and understand it in a way, Father God, that they walk away a little stronger today than they were yesterday and getting stronger every day. For I praise you, Father God, in the name of Jesus, for these many blessings you bestowed on us when you gave us your word and you gave us a day to get your breath and strength. Oh, I praise your holy, majestic name. It is a moment to celebrate, Father God, in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen. As always, I like to share a few quotes and a few scriptures before we get started into the meat of the message, because I think that these quotes and the scriptures help us to kind of prepare. It's like going to church and getting the choir to get you built up. I believe these words that are shared, if we have ears to hear, will be influencing in our lives to help us take a different perspective on things, to look through a different lens, a more powerful lens than our everyday, if you will, humdrum lifestyle that we may sometimes get caught up in, or the complacencies we get caught up in because we kind of get status quo. But when we get a fresh pouring of knowledge and wisdom and understanding on those things that God imparted to someone else to share with us, we begin to ignite that growth again. And that's what this should always be about. We should be forever growing and ever increasing in our faith. Hallelujah. The quote today goes, if you want to be happy, do not dwell in the past. Do not worry about the future. Focus on living fully in the present. No amount of regret can change the past, and no amount of worry can change the future. If you want to conquer the anxiety of life, live in the moment, live in the breath. Live in the breath and the strength that God gave you today. Another one is, at some point, you just have to let go of what you thought should happen and live in what is happening, the right now. And whatever you are, be are, excuse me, whatever you are, be all there. In other words, whatever you are in that moment, whatever you're doing, let your focus be there in that moment. Hallelujah. And if you are depressed, you are living in the past. If you are anxious, you are living in the future. If you are at peace, you are living in the present moment. Hallelujah. The scripture tells us in Matthew 6:34, therefore do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own troubles. We don't need to create troubles for the future. We don't need to go back to yesterday and look at those troubles. We deal with what is presented with us now and trust that God will bring us out of those troubles. Hallelujah. Isaiah 43:18-19 says, remember not former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. When we live in the moment, in that moment, God can make a way. He can make the rivers in the desert. And where it may be dry bones, he can bring life to it. We must recognize that the past is going on, and we can't meditate back there. And we cannot get so caught up in the things of the future, but deal with the new things God is doing for us right now, right now. And Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's a blessing in itself. He don't change like man. He don't flip-flop. He don't get, as young people say, feeling some kind of way, feeling in his emotion. God is consistent. I was saying to my elders today that one thing I can say that man is consistent is, consistent in is inconsistency, but what God is, he is consistent. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. Malachi 3:6, for I the Lord do not change. Confirmation. Therefore you, O children of Jacob, are not consumed, for I the Lord do not change. I, the Lord, do not change. I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. That is something we should embrace. We should embrace because we know that God will always be consistent in his word. We know that his word does not return void, but it always accomplishes that which has been sent. And because God already knew the end from the beginning, God can tell us out of Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plan I have for you, declare the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you and a hope. You know in Romans it tells that hope does not disappoint, for the spirit that God poured into us through the Holy Spirit. So we know that God has a plan. As he gave, Jesus went to ask his Father to give us the Holy Spirit. As he gave us the Holy Spirit, he gave us hope, because when he gave us this hope, he gave us this power. He gave us this power, and that power should ignite the hope in you for a prosperous future. Hallelujah. So let me tell a few stories today. This will be a little more storytelling, and I hope that those that are listening will have ears to hear, to grasp the importance of these stories and take the meaning away from it to move you forward in a more right now presentation, if you will, living fully in the moment. One day while walking through the wilderness, a man encountered a vicious tiger. He ran for his life as the tiger chased him. The man came to the edge of the cliff, and the tiger was almost about upon him. Having no choice, he held on to the vine with both hands and climbed down. Halfway down the cliff, the man looked up and saw that the tiger at the top was baring his fangs, and looked down and saw another tiger at the bottom waiting for his arrival and roaring at him. He was caught between the two. He had truly a double bind. Then all of a sudden, two rats, one white, one black, shows up on the vine above him as he didn't need any other problems to worry about. They started gnawing on the vine. He knew that as the rats kept gnawing, they would reach a point when the vine would no longer be able to support his weight. He would break and he would fall. He tried to shoo the rats away, but they kept coming back. At that moment, he noticed a strawberry growing on the face of the cliff, not far from him. It looked plump and ripe. holding on to the vine with one hand and reaching out with the other, he plucked it. With the tiger above and another below, the two rats continued to gnaw on his vine. The man tasted strawberry and found it absolutely delicious. He had decided to embrace the beauty of the moment. You see, during times of turmoil, we may feel like we are being pulled in two different directions, in the past and towards the future. Don't fear the past. You are not what's happening to you. You are not what you have accomplished. You are not even who you're not even who you are today or who you will become thus far. You are also not who and what you are still capable of becoming. However, you are your realized and unrealized potential. You see, 3 John tells us, and 3 John 2 tells us, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou may prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prosper." See, God has a plan for us. He wants us to prosper. He wants to become our best potential self. God sees you and all your potential. He desires to see you embrace your best, true, highest self. He yearns to help you and to accompany you in that quest. Don't let your past define you. It may be helpful to glance in the rearview mirror from time to time. But if you keep your glance there for too long, you will crash. Allow the past to serve you. Don't let it rob you of your now. Don't let it steal your future. Investigate into it occasionally to learn more about yourself. But avoid remaining there for too long. If you sense you may be lingering in the past in an unhealthy way, ask the question, how is this serving me today? Hallelujah. The show. The message of the show is, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We have to trust him in the moment of now. As I awakened this morning from an interesting dream of three people that were in my life, one was my past, one was my present, and one was my future. The dream left me with an interesting question on whether or not I'm living in the right now or for some present moment, or am I living in the past or am I preoccupied with the future? I do some counseling, not as much as I used to since I retired from the Army, but I do notice many of the cases that I deal with of the past, most of the people seem to be either living in the past or they're living in the future. Each individual I spoke to in terms of yesterday or what was happening tomorrow or the future seemed to get stuck in their experience of yesterday's influences and their present moment. They are preoccupied more with the experience of how the future would even impact them. They have become consumed in either tomorrow or yesterday, but not in today. Now, this is in itself isn't a bad thing if one takes their experiences to not allow them to be like curses, but to make them life lessons. Webster says that a curse is a sincere utterance intended to invoke a supernatural power to inflict harm or punishment on someone or something. Now that's interesting because it's intended to inflict harm or punishment on someone else or something. Yet what I see when we entertain what is intended to be our life lesson only turns to ignite a supernatural power that invokes negative, non-productive influences on our lives. So many times as events manifest and they begin to move in our lives, we get caught up. We find ourselves ruminating, meditating on the negatives that is non-productive, is counterproductive to what God intended us to be. You see, God didn't want us to lose the supernatural power that he gave us through the Holy Spirit, that in every experience he would allow us to move forward so he could be glorified. Thus, as the story of one who went through the experiences of seeing their child go through a negative situation, we see many times that parents struggle because they meditate on what they didn't do right in the past instead of embracing the moment of looking through the lens of God's, if you will, power and what he has provided us through the knowledge, wisdom that he gives us through the understanding of his word to help us not to meditate on the negativities of life. but we seem to go there. In most cases, when counselors see someone, they're not coming in to give them a praise report. They're coming to give them the ideals of all the things that went wrong. And if you listen very closely, again, they're usually going to be something that was in their past. They carry it like a suitcase, and they carry these problems around, and they open up periodically, if not every day, and they focus on the negatives. Now, even though I do the counseling, there are times I slip myself into that zone. I open up a suitcase of something I should have let go or left it somewhere else. But it's the natural tendency of people to go there, especially if they don't keep their mind on the word of God. See, God tells us he who keeps his mind on thee, he gives him perfect peace because he trusts him. But see, when we lose, get more trust in ourselves and lose focus on what God is trying to give us, we tend to open up that suitcase of negativity and we go back to yesterday's wrong, not yesterday's good. We're standing here today because there's more good that happened in our life than negative, but we seem to meditate on it. I like the classic line, when a teacher gives a kid a 4 A's and a D, and he goes home, and then in that moment, his mother or father sees a report card, and instead of looking at the 4 A's that he got, they center in on the D. And then that becomes the focus throughout the course of the school year for the kid. You got to keep doing, you got to keep improving, which he should. But it's not looked upon that that 4 A's that he showed, he had the potential. But we center in on the negative, which sometimes will have that influence because when you talk to full-grown adults, they're still talking about how their parents or those around them said these negative things that they still harp on. See, we have to be careful in learning how to live in the now and the beauty of the now. As I told the story of the gentleman just prior who looked at the beauty of the strawberry and embraced it. See, the scripture tells us what to consider with our eyes in the moment. It tells us in Matthew 6:22, the eyes is the lamp of the body. So if your eyes is healthy, your whole body is filled with, will be full of light. Let me repeat that. The eyes is the lamp of the body. So if your eyes is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. See, this is what we're supposed to be doing, looking on those things that is of the beauty in the now. See, as long as we keep going back, we're going back into the darkness of the past. As I said earlier, we should not allow life situations and experiences to be our life curses. We do know that usually a curse represents something of darkness, something of evil, something of disappointment, something of letdown, something that is negative. But when we learn to allow the light to shine in any environment that you go to, if you're in a dark environment, you go into a cave, if you just strike a match, small as it may be, it can light up that cave. So what are our eyes looking at? What are we focusing on? What are we entertaining with these eyes? He gives them perfect peace. But he tells us also, as I talk about out of Proverbs, when we look at the scripture, and it tells us every time I quote it, it says the same thing. Incline thy ears to thy saying, let not this depart from thy eyes. We shouldn't let God's word depart from our eyes, because when we do that, we give up our light. It's almost like shaking thumb and blow our little match out. So it's so important to keep your eyes tuned in on God's word, because this will allow us to move forward in victory. The scripture also tells us what we should think on in the moment. In Philippians 4:8, it says, finally, brother, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worth of praise, think about these things. When we allow visions or images to come into our head through our eyes, and what do we do with it? Do we do like the gentleman who looked up and saw through his eyes the tigers up and down and the rats that were coming to eat the vine? Or do we look over at the strawberry of life? Now, I'm a true believer that we do have to acknowledge, he did,
He acknowledged those things which was negative or those things which was wrong. But at some point when he was placed in a double bind, he recognized it was more important to brace the beauty, or in this case, brace the light, brace those things which will help us to think on those things that are more true, more pure, more lovely, more commendable, those things that are worth praise, but more praiseworthy than to entertain the negativities. But in most of us, we can guarantee if you go out today and you hang around enough people, you will hear more negativity than that which is positive. We will complain about the president. We'll complain about the wars. We'll complain about the insurance company. We'll complain about anything, everything, the children, the husband. We'll find all the darkness. And through those experiences that we complain about, are we taking these experiences, which I always go go as we so plan? But first, we should check out what God's plan in any of these situations. But for most parts, 9 times out of 10, we kind of do it our own way. And then we get our own results. Then we want to check out God, because usually our result doesn't produce the excellence that God wants us to have, that would have caused us to think on those things that is true and honorable and just and lovely. So it's so important that we change the way we think. And as the scripture tells us how we should behave in the moment, Philippians 1:27 says, only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or absent, I may hear you, that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel. For the faith of the gospel. The good news. The good news. We have to entertain the good news in the moment. Earlier we were talking about on my prayer call prophets and pastors, I recognized and took in the celebration of the good news when we begin to rejoice. We begin to take charge. When we begin to celebrate and walk in the good news of the gospel, what God is doing for us every day. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in. We rejoice. We celebrate it. We took in that which God wants us to do. So whether if Jesus was physically present or not, he is always present in the moment. When two or more gather and touch and agree, he is there. We celebrate the gospel of Christ. We don't get caught up in the defeat. We don't get caught up in the loss. We don't get caught up in the things and the cares of the world that defeat us from embracing the moment. Embracing the moment. I heard a story of two monks who were crossing the river, and they had vowed not to speak. And on the way across, there was a woman who was somewhat drowning. And so one of the monks decided to grab her. And it was also they had to maintain chastity. So when they were crossing the river, he grabbed the woman and carried her over. When they got to the other side, the one monk, they broke their vow. The one monk said to the other, we vow not to speak in chastity. You held that woman's body. And he looked at him and said, you're still carrying that woman. What does that mean? That we're still holding on to the negative of what already happened. To learn to let go of yesterday's negatives and only hold on to today's positive. And there's a lesson to be learned when things are not always going our way. Let's just say for the sake of the story that I talked about, that in that moment when he grabbed the strawberry, that there was hunters that came by and shooed the lions away, and which caused the mice to go away, and at the bottom they had a net waiting for him in that moment. I know it's kind of a add to the story, but in that moment, because things, stranger things happen, in that moment when the vine ended up breaking, someone had caught him. Many stories are told this way. So we know that with God, all things are possible. With man, it's impossible. With God, all things are possible. This is why we have to live in the moment with God. Hallelujah. And then Matthew 26:41 tells us where Jesus tells his disciple, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. So there'll be times when the flesh, which I always like to say, I shouldn't expect much that came from dirt to be pure. toe, but the flesh can get weak. But when we trust God and we trust his word, his truth, we begin to move to operate in the abundant life. We begin to operate in the abundant life of the now. We don't leave the present moment like the monk just did. We begin to focus in on the here and now because God is ever present. God is ever present. You see, if we slip away and allow the flesh to get in the way, what is the mission of Satan out of John 10:10? The thief come only to steal, to kill, and destroy. You see, he comes to take away what God intended for us to have, which is peace and joy, and to celebrate every moment that he gave us his breath and strength. See, he tells us in the same scripture, I come that you may have life and have it to its fullest. God wants us to have it as fullest, but you can't be in the future and have the fullest reward of the moment. You can't be in the past and experience the greatness that comes in the moment. It is so important for us to recognize that we need to continue to focus on the here and now. See, because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And what he did yesterday, he can do today as well as tomorrow. Hallelujah, hallelujah. See, Satan has one mission. See, in 2 Corinthians 1:3, it says, but I am afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunningness, your mind may somehow be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ. Every time we get into the negativities of thinking about and worrying about the future, worrying about our kids, worrying about our finances, worrying about our health, worry, 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 anxious, you know, they got diagnoses in the DSM-5 that tells us about anxiety disorders, depression disorders. They call it disorders. It's a disease. That's a dis-ease. It takes us out of the peace that God wants us to have because worry can do that. And then it takes his own life to begin to cause not just you mentally to struggle, but emotionally to struggle and eventually physically to struggle. We must be able to put it in perspective. But this is Satan's mission. Out of John 8:44, it says, you belong to your father, the devil. You want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to truth. Remember, the word told us to think on the truth. For there is no truth in him. There is no truth in his lies in the future. There is no truth in the lies in the past. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father's a lie. He keeps you off God's square. See, the word tells us also that what chokes out God's word? The cares of life. And usually the cares of life will take you out of the present moment. It will take you out of the present moment. If you're worrying about what somebody's going to do tomorrow, what they're going to say, I've done this myself. We call it a psychodrama, where you begin to go through a whole scenario. You create a whole scene about what potentially may be said or what you're going to say and then what they're going to say. You're not in the moment because that moment may not even manifest. You lose sight. You are, if you will, maybe not worried to no extreme, but you're so preoccupied with tomorrow that you're not living in the day. Or you go back, as some people do. I remember the old school, sometimes your parents would allow whatever you did wrong to kind of build up. And then when they would give you a tan and they start bringing up all these scenarios, you're like, where is that coming from? See, because you were holding on to those negatives. We have to learn to let it go. We have to live in the moment. For most of the cases, if we are really honest with ourselves, we'll find that we're in peace already because God is peace. God is joy. God is love. God has forgiven us for those things we've fallen short. So we can, he casts it through, see, and remember it no more. We can keep it moving. But we get wrapped around the axle. We meditate on these things, and we just continue to ruminate, and it causes us to stress out, leaving the peace that God can only give behind. We can see that there's two perspectives we can entertain that with either case causes either what's going to cause us to be victorious and walk fully in the Spirit or be defeated by the carnal, worldly way of seeing things. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. So another scripture tells us, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. By testing, you may discern what is the will of God and what is good and acceptable and perfect. When we conform to the world, we're conforming to anxiety. When we conform to the world, we conform to depression. I haven't read in the Bible where they talk about depression or anxiety. I've seen what people are concerned, but not to the point of that kind of stress level. But see, as we've got more into the world where Satan is the prince of the air, he calls us to meditate on these things. So what does it mean? How does it relate to God when we're saying that God being the same yesterday, today, and forever, and living in the moment? Let's consider the last scripture on how God wants us, what wants us to do, and how he wants us to first be transformed by letting the past go. God tells us by testing that which is now is to determine what is the will of God. But we must allow the Holy Spirit to renew our mind. Let me say that again. We must allow the Holy Spirit to renew our mind. This is a submission. This is a giving. This is a willful act to allow the Holy Spirit to take over and to trust that the Holy Spirit will guide us, direct us, and correct us, and teach us through God's word how we need to move forward, moving us away from yesterday's doubts and fears and insecurity and defeat, anything that tries to exalt itself against the knowledge and will of God. The only thing the past is supposed to do is to help us make more spiritual educated decisions on what we learn from it in order that we can use it as a life lesson and not curse. God is a present God that is with us in the present moment, and for us to turn to him when our hearts and mind and soul need guidance. God is ever present. God doesn't want us to look back to yesterday and live there. He wants to take those experiences of our life and utilize them through the Holy Spirit to be able to help somebody else in their life. When we spend our time and energy back, we miss out on the experience of his love, his grace, and his right now presence. When we spend our time looking into the future because of fear, we take away the blessing of his peace in the present moment. This wake-up call, people. Either we're going to do this thing, as they say, you do it big or you go home. It's time for us to truly trust God. It's time for us to recognize that God is ever present. God is ever present. He has never left us. He has never forsaken us. You see, God is all present, all knowing, and therefore he was there in our past because that moment was now. He is in our present, and when he's in our tomorrow, that moment is still now. We have to consider in truth that our past and our present and tomorrow, no matter where we go in time, there we are in God's time. He is present with us all the time. We only have the moment we are in, and in the moment, God is with us as well. The moment we are in. The moment we are in. So let me share two more stories with you before I close out. Hallelujah. In the moments of challenges, there'll be times when we're in the valley and so deep, and sometimes we're in the mountain that's so high, where the storms of life that produces the wave tosses us to and fro, but we must trust God in every moment. So here's one of the stories. In Mark 4:35-41, Jesus calms the storm. That day when the evening came, he said to his disciple, "Let us go over to the other side. Leave the crowd behind." They took him along just as he was in the boat. There was also other boats with him. A fierce squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. Bottom of the boat. Jesus' disciples woke up and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up. He rebuked the wind and said to the wind, "Quiet, be still." Jesus was in the moment. Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. He said to his disciple, "Why are you so afraid?" Let me stop here. Why are you so afraid? Fear is about what you expect in the negative in the future. Why were they afraid? Because they anticipated death. They were afraid to die. They anticipated the experience of drowning. They may not make it out in one piece. So they were afraid. Then he asked, do you still have no faith? Now, they've been hanging around him a skip, and he's been doing different miracles, proving that exercising faith the size of a mustard seed could move mountains. Yet they were terrified and asked each other, who is this? They were still terrified even as he proposed the question. Even the winds and the waves obeyed him. Even the winds and the waves obeyed him. See, it is so important for us to recognize that God is always with us. He was in the boat chilling in the present moment. He wasn't meditating on yesterday or tomorrow, but they got caught up about an anticipation and created a fear, not even recognizing that the power was near. He was right there. They had him in the flesh. They missed it. They wasn't in the present moment outside of what they were seeing, but they were anticipating in their heart and in their mind what they were allowing to come through their eyes that ignited these emotions of fear. Now, being in this fleshly body, it takes a minute to build up that kind of faith. And I understand that they didn't have the Holy Spirit at the time, but still, they had God himself there who was endowed with the Holy Spirit. He did nothing without the Holy Spirit. So let me share another story with you. Matthew 14:23. Jesus made his disciple get into the boat and go ahead to the other side. While he dismissed the crowd, after he was dismissed, the crowd went up to the mountain by himself. He went up to the mountain by himself to pray. When the evening came, he was there alone. But by this time, the boat battered by the wind was far from the land. For the wind was against them. And early in the morning, he came walking towards them on the sea. Now, that's some bad stuff here. Now, that's faith at the max level, the maximum level, because at the end of the day, now they're at a distance. But Jesus is so cool, he can walk and meet them. He can walk in that faith, walking on the water. Hallelujah. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, is it a ghost? Now, they would believe in a ghost versus believing in the one they seen heal the blind, heal the lame, raise the dead. But they would believe it's a ghost. They were in fear. They cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, take heart. It is I. Do not be afraid. Let me say this again. Take heart. It is I. Do not be afraid. When you're struggling with that which you think is a ghost in your life that creates a certain fear, because sometimes our thoughts and imaginations get so intense that we can't tangibly grab it, but it's so powerful. It's like a ghost in our life. It creates all these fears, the unknown. False evidence that appear real. That ghost appear real. But Jesus say, take this, take heart. It is I. See, he is with us. When he endowed us with the Holy Spirit, he is with us because the Holy Spirit, Jesus, and God is one. Do not be afraid. Do not anticipate the negative of the future, because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. What he did for us yesterday, he can do today, and he can do it tomorrow. Yet Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. He said, come. So Peter got out of the boat. Now, I like this. This is how we're supposed to operate. We're supposed to step out in faith. Step out in faith. We don't know for sure, but we step out in faith. Why? Because he who trusts he gives him perfect peace. He gives us that comfort to step out in faith. Peter trusted Jesus. So Peter got out the boat and started walking on the water. Started walking on the water. We can walk on the water, trials and tribulations. We can walk on the water of removing sickness and disease. We can walk on the water of getting rid of lack. We can walk on the water eliminating homelessness. We can walk on the water because the walking on the water represents our faith, and our faith the size of a mustard seed can move mountains. We can walk on the water. Why? Because he said, take heart. I am he. I am he. I am he. It is I. Christ is with us. However, Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened and began to sink. He cried out, Lord, save me. He again anticipated the negative of the future. He should have anticipated I would already be there. No matter what, he was seen to the left of him, to the right of him, in front of him, or behind him. God had that 360 on him already. Why? I know, because he was walking on the water. But Peter didn't know who to call. He said, Jesus, save me. Now check this out, people. When you begin to sink, when the waves get over your head, when you can't see your way, when you begin to feel that breath and strength that God gave you that morning is slipping, we got to do like Peter. We got to say these three beautiful, powerful, influential, dynamic, overpowering, explosive words. Lord, save me. Lord, save me. Lord, save me. He said, Lord, I give up. I'm in your hands. And that's when my life began to change. Lord, save me. Lord, save me. And Jesus immediately, see, no hesitation or reservation, Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him and said to him, you of little faith, why did you doubt? And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshiped, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. See, we should know who God is. We should know who God is. I want to share something with you. I want you to know these names. I want to call them out. I want to call them out. Jesus is our advocate, the Lamb of God, the Judge, the Lord of Lords, the Resurrection of Life, the Man of Sorrow, hallelujah, the Shepherd and the Bishop of the Soul, the Head of the Church, the Master, the Faithful and the True, the Witness, the Rock, the Door, the High Priest, the Living Water, the Breath of Life, the Rose of Sharon, the Alpha and Omega, the True Vine, the Mediator, the Beloved, the Branch. He's the King of the Jews. Jesus is all we need. All we got to do is call out his name. Call out his name. Call out his name. Call out his name. Hallelujah. It's hard when we are in the storm of life to always muster up the trust and belief needed to truly follow and have faith in God the way that Jesus did. However, when we reflect on our past, we can see he was a right now God. When we look into our future, we know that he is a right now God. When we live in our present moment, just the fact that we have been given, again, his breath and strength for this day the Lord has made, we should rejoice and be glad in it, because he gives us this day, he will give us tomorrow. Why? Because he is a God who is the same yesterday, which is we all have experienced God loving, forgiving, mercy, grace. When we look at the rearview mirror of our life, when we look in the future, which we are present and past, we can see he was a right now God that supplied all our needs, hopes, and dreams at some point in our life. Why? Because we all have experienced that which was once the future has now become the present, which again is setting us up for more future blessings from God, who is always present, always here, always a right now God, always on time. In deeper thoughts of this message, my friend, it should confirm the fact that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever as our true and living God who lives inside of us for eternity. So when you get too lost in the future and you get too caught up in the past, bring yourself back to the present now moment, the right now God, because God is with you right now. God is with you right now. God is here right now with us, right now with us, blessing us to allow us to be able to hear. I remember when I was a kid, I used to watch this cartoon called The Jetsons, and they had all this futuristic stuff. It would be the future. But now it is the past, because those things which once was that we saw that could potentially be positive have manifested into a reality. All we got to do is let patience have its perfect work. God will move, because God said he got a plan for our life, a plan to prosper, and a hope for the future. So we don't have to be anxious about the future, because hope doesn't disappoint. Hope doesn't disappoint. And then I always come back to say the same thing of my brother Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And if God don't do it, it's still about his plan. We must trust his plan. Jesus even asked the question, why have thou forsaken me? Because he understood in the flesh, it appeared the flesh is crying out, I don't want to go. Flesh is weak. But in the spirit, your will be done. And when we pray, we should pray for God's absolute best, God's healing, God's financial blessing, God is a bond of love in relationships, God to make us more accountable, responsible for our brothers and be our brothers' keepers. Oh, yes, God, we should pray for this. But every situation, we have to trust God in it, that no matter what the manifestation may be, we still trust God. Because he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Let me share before I close out the soldier's perspective. You see, these stories, which for many may seem unreal, pure nonsense, boring, or seemingly at a level of impossibilities. Yet in fact and simple, simply put, it's about living and trusting God in the moment. Despite perilous situations, these individuals chose not to let unrealized danger paralyze them. They were able to seize the moment and savor it. See, our adversities, our crises, and potential days can rob us of the precious gift of light. As prophets of Pastor Teresa said to us this morning, unwrap the gift of life. This week, let us not allow the adversity, crisis, and potential danger to paralyze us or block us from living every single moment the way God intended us to be, which is to become image bearers of Christ. Operate under the power of the Holy Spirit to embrace the present moment that will allow us to live within the experience, to develop and mature, to be disciples who take life lessons to share the good news, the gospel, and refuse to entertain those lessons to be a curse. Because God has a plan for us to prosper. A plan for us not to experience harm in the natural, in a way that defeats us, but more a plan for us to succeed for eternity. Jesus is already in the future preparing a place for us where we can celebrate, and all that we experience here in this flesh will be behind us. We release the old and embrace the new. And this we can count on. Why? Because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And his word never returns void. Hallelujah. Remember, my friends, this. Out of Mark 10:35-45. In all your experiences, there's a reason for us to be here. We're all given an assignment by God. It's upon us to take it and embrace it and begin to develop and prepare like Jesus did for 30 years. To go and do something for three. This is what it's about. We can't let yesterday's defeat and disappointment let down. Jesus experienced a lot. They were ready to kill Jesus on the first step when he first stepped out. He could have meditated, I ain't doing this because these people ain't right. Oh, look what they done to me. Oh, I was a poor carpenter's son, and this ain't right. Now I'm walking in God's word, and now people are rejecting me. They want to harm me. Could have done that. Or fast forward, they're getting ready to hang him on the cross, and they beat him and spitting on him, and he's taking 39 stripes on his back and on. He said, I can't do that. But Jesus understood the big picture. Jesus would explain that he came as a son of man to give his life as a ransom, for even the son of man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. We are to give our life as a ransom for many, different ways, different approaches, different times, different environment, different things that we may have to do, but our life should be a living sacrifice. This is not our body, and nor is this our home. So let us prepare to get off the playground and get on the battleground to do what God called us to do, which is to serve, which is to serve. Now, for some of you who may not have accepted Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, maybe you haven't grasped it yet. Maybe you don't think it's real. Maybe it's just nice story, fairy tale stories that you have heard about. Or maybe you've been disappointed through the course of going maybe to church and seeing some people who were just being people, just being human. Again, as I always say, the flesh was made out of clay, so it's dirt. So you can't expect dirt to be purified. But when people receive Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, there's a transformation that begins to happen. There's a change that begins to happen. And it's not something that changes in the flick of a finger. It's a process. And people will evolve it. And they will have highs and lows, peak experiences, and they will have some valley moments, and they will fall short. So get not caught up, because we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We wrestle against power and principality and high dark places. We wrestle with the prince of the air. And he may use you or use me to fall short. But let's not meditate on yesterday's faults. Let's look at yesterday's lessons of looking at the growth from yesterday to today and looking at the potential expedient growth in the future, ever-increasing faith. So this is your time to exercise the three little letters that we all start off in kindergarten, the ABC, accepting Christ, believing that he died on the cross for you for your sin, and confessing with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. And making him your Lord is the beginning of the developmental process to spiritually mature to become all God intended you to be. And I always like to go back to what Billy Graham said. You can poo-poo the Bible way if you want to, but even if you did that, every principle in the Bible would be effective for your carnal life if that's where you want to stay. But you miss out on the goodness of what God has to offer you. And if you just trust him with a little faith, and if you could ever visualize the mustard seed, it's not a whole lot. It can move the mountains that make your life be more at peace that surpass all your human understanding. So again, confess with your mouth, believe in your heart, and accept Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. And the rewards of the good news to God, the word of God will begin, because God has a plan for your life, for you to prosper, not for harm, and to give you a hope for the future. If you like what we presented, we recommend that you check out Kingdom Builder Development Institute, which basically, you, if you want to write us, you can email us at kingdombuilderplaza@gmail.com. You can contact us at 313-583-9739, 313-583-9739, and you can sow into the ministry at www.giveify.com, which is spelled GiveLify.com. All of this will be a blessing to you, because as we give, it shall be given unto us, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, men shall give unto our bosom. As we give unto each other, God will give the increase. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And always in parting, I like to say, you pray for me, I pray for you, and let's watch the magical, rephrase that, the miraculous things that God will do. Because I can tell you that God is the same yesterday, today, this day, the present moment, and tomorrow. Blessings are always flowing every day of our life. Have a wonderful week. Be in the now. Embrace God right now, because he's an ever-present God. Have a wonderful week.